This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
You're listening to Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum. Ryan Tejas is here.
Hello.
Thank you. Ryan, we've had some great podcasts lately.
We have. We had two good ones yesterday.
Great ones. Two great ones, and the ones that are airing are really good. Everywhere from Tom Ellis to our 300th episode with Tom Welling, and I want to thank everybody again for that. It's been great. We had Keanu Reeves. We had...
And Dogstar.
We had a great year.
Yeah.
And we're kicking it off right this year. We got a lot of great guests, and I couldn't do this without you. You know, there's so many podcasts out there, but we've been around a while, and you know, we talk about mental health and real stuff, and I think that's why people gravitate towards the show. But if you want to support the show more and help us, which we could use your help, go to patreon.com/insideofyou. That's Patreon, patreon.com/insideofyou. It's like a streaming service. Imagine, you know, people give, you know, they help out, they subscribe to streaming services. So, yeah. So, you know, if you want to do that, and there's a lot of perks on the Patreon. If you go, I'm doing a YouTube live with folks, the top tiers, I'm doing a Zoom with top tiers, get their names called out on every show. They get to ask questions to the guests. They get boxes sent by me every couple months and notes, and it's a really good time, and it's become a real good family on the Patreon. So patreon.com/insideofyou. And we're going to get into the episode in a minute. Also, my new product, Rosie's Puppy Fresh Breath. You can go on Amazon and get it. It's an additive for your dogs, just a drop in their bowl, and their breath is better, period. It's odorless, tasteless. It's awesome. And my picture's on the bottle.
Oh.
Yeah. Rosie's Puppy Fresh Breath.
Now, does it work on you?
You know what? I'll try it. If it's good for my dog, it's good for me. Well,
What's good for the goose is good for the gander.
What does that mean?
I think it's akin to happy wife, happy life.
What's good for the goose is good for the gander.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I guess so.
Gander being a male goose.
Yeah. The handles here for Inside of You, if you want to follow us and subscribe, which would help. And if you want to write a review, what are the handles, Ryan?
At Inside of You Pod on Twitter, at Inside of You Podcast on Instagram and Facebook.
By the way, the Inside of You online store is available for, if you love Smallville, there's tons of great merch that you can't get anywhere signed by me. And also, so you might want to go to the Inside of You online store and get some stuff. There's stuff that you just can't get. I'll also be at some cons. I'll be in North Carolina on the 17th, the weekend with Tom Welling. We're doing a Smallville night. You can go on my Instagram at the Michael Rosenbaum, and you could certainly hit my link tree. And it tells you everything I'm doing. I apologize for canceling the live event, but scheduling and my surgery and all those things. And shit happens.
Would you say shake your link tree? Like give it a shake? Like, you know, you're getting
you can get my shake my link tree.
Yeah. Like it's a tree.
That almost sounds rough. Shake my link tree.
No, like you're getting an apple.
Yeah, I know what you're saying there, buddy. But let me tell you something about myself. I am thrice divorced. Katie Sackhoff has been on the podcast before. Mandalorian, Longmire, tons of work. Battlestar Galactica. She's really great on this podcast, and I did hers. She has a new podcast we talk about, and so much other stuff. She's so open. She's so sweet. I love having her on. And is there anything else I should mention? Thanks for listening to Talkville as well, promote Talkville. And everything's going. Ryan, is everything going good? I know you're going to do BetterHelp now.
Yeah. Geez, that was loud. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're back on now.
Get back into it. I took the holidays off.
Yeah. Which is, it could be a mistake.
But you know, my therapist retired, and so I just decided to take a little breather, and then I'm just going to get back on it.
Yeah. Well, that's great. It's so easy, man. It's really, I mean, you could tell people how easy it is.
It's super easy.
I mean, you fill out like a little questionnaire and then you're off to the races.
Yeah, pretty much.
Just that easy. Yeah. We could all use help. Believe me, I go to therapy. I just got out of therapy. Right before this.
Good.
We talked about all my ailments. and life. And, you know, there's a lot of good positive things, you know, that you start to figure out. You become aware of things, work on things. I love it. All right, without further ado, let's get into it. Let's get inside of Katie Sackhoff.
It's my point of view. You're listening to Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum.
Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum was not recorded in front of a live studio audience.
Yeah, you're, the mic's a little.
I'm just going to play with it for a second.
You can do whatever you want.
I like to play with it until I get in the right spot.
Yeah, as long as you're not making noise over there, Katie.
Once I get it in the right spot, I feel in control.
Now you're in control.
Now I'm in control.
I actually got to see you in control just about 30 minutes ago. I was on your new podcast.
You were.
Out called Blah, Blah, Blah with Katie Sackhoff.
Yes, Blah, Blah, Blah.
Why did you, like, there's so many podcasts, and it's so, I hate to use the word, what's another word for oversaturated? Because everybody, oversaturated.
Oversaturated.
Everybody uses that word. It's there's an abundance of podcasts. And why did you want to do a podcast? And what's the subject matter? I know, because I was just interviewed and you made me at ease. You made me feel comfortable. We talked mental health. We talked life in ways it was sort of like mine.
Yeah.
But like more of a female perspective.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what is it? What is it, Katie?
Well, you basically just hit the nail on the head. I want to just have real, authentic conversations with people about life and about work and about love and mental health and aging in this business, everything you can think of. And I want it to be from the female perspective, because I don't feel like there are a lot of women doing podcasts well, but I didn't feel like the way I wanted to do a podcast or listen to a podcast was there with a female.
So you wanted to fill that.
So I did see a little bit of a void in a weird, oversaturated place that I thought that I could carve a spot out for myself.
Yeah.
And that's what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to just be conversations with two friends. And we joked about this, but if you could be a fly on the wall while two friends are having a cup of coffee, that's what it should feel like. It should feel like you're eavesdropping on a conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. And I appreciate that you sort of, you know, you said that doing this podcast kind of gave you that, you know, a little bit of the idea to do this. And you asked me questions and, like, you know, we were in the car and went, like, you know, just ideas. And, you know, ultimately I was just like, just be vulnerable, be real, you know, authentic, genuine. Those words are the number one part of the show. You, as long as you are doing this because you care, because you care about the guests, you want to listen, you want to get something from them and your audience, and you give them that same appreciation, I think that over time, people will gravitate towards you. You know, I text my buddy Ethan, who's a massive Star Wars fan, and I am too, but he knows a lot more. I don't go down that whole rabbit hole of all these new shows as much as I loved Mandalorian. Mm-hmm. That was the one to me that felt like old school. And it just, I mean, it captivated an audience. I mean, people were just, holy shit. When, you know, his text to me was like, he just loves the fact that you, in Clone Wars, you also voice Bo, right?
I did, yeah. So for like,
isn't that a city in Florida, Boca Raton?
It actually is.
Boca Raton.
Boca Raton. and I was going to just make a politically inappropriate joke, but never mind. I voiced her for about 10 years. Not many episodes. I only did probably 8 episodes, but she made an impression. You know, she was around sort of at the end of Clone Wars. She was in Rebels as well. Like she had an integral part in the tone of what it was when it ended. So it did make complete sense for her to find her way into Mandalorian.
So you were doing this voice before you did the real part.
Yeah.
At live action, not the real part.
I did. Yeah.
I mean, how many times is somebody the voice of something and they make them the live action? I can't think of any.
So
are there?
I think that I might have been the first, actually. And I don't say this with an ego. No. I just say that I've been told that it's gone the other direction. but never this direction.
Are you, so what are right before the strike, were you filming?
No. Oddly enough, we finished this last season, April, like over a year ago. And then the next season of Mando hasn't started yet.
What are you going to tell me about that?
I am so good at not giving away spoilers at this point, because I'm so scared that like someone from Disney will swoop in and like you'll never hear from me again.
Are things that happen, answer me this, it will beat around the bush.
Yeah.
Are they going to shock the audience?
I think that's the thing with this universe is that no matter what you do, you will always shock 50% of the audience. You know what I mean? And so I'm sure it will. I'm sure there will be fun, crazy moments that people water cooler about. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
How many episodes? You can't even tell me that, huh?
No.
How many episodes did they shoot? Can't even say that.
I mean, I think they've done like 8 every season.
Okay. So yeah. You're not telling me anything then.
You know. No.
So there's probably 8. And so you're in either one up to 8 of them.
That would be one logical guess. That would be one logical guess.
Bet you're in 5 episodes. That's my guess. I bet you're in 5 episodes.
I guess we'll see.
Are they very like hush hush, like literally you can't say anything?
Yeah.
And who tells you this?
No one really.
Really? They don't say anything?
No, it's like we sign NDAs that are like super thick. But you don't really get a conversation from anyone unless you make a mistake, and then you get a conversation. I haven't really had one yet. So
you haven't made mistakes?
No. I mean, I've made a shit ton of mistakes, just not in spoiler world.
Is there anyone in this upcoming season that you've already shot? Are we at high altitude? What are you doing?
No, I get like weird
migraines.
I have TMJ, so I grind my teeth a lot.
I do too. I grind my teeth all the time. That's, you know, crazy. That? I grind my teeth. I always can hear it, but you can't hear it because it's in my mouth, Jason. But I'm sure,
Yeah, so my ears, when I grind a lot, it's sort of like I need to itch my ears, and I blow a lot.
Do you love this world? Do you honestly hope this world continues for you, the Star Wars world, for many, many years to come?
Yeah, you know, it's been such a dream come true. I was a fan of the original trilogy when I was a kid. My dad introduced me to them. My dad is a huge Star Wars fan. And I used to joke that, you know, when I moved here, I used to joke that if someone calls for me to be in Star Wars, I'll beg them, tell them I'll be a rock. I'll do whatever they want. So Clone Wars was just such an amazing opportunity for me as like a fan of the universe to be in this world. And so it's just, she is literally the gift that keeps on giving. I never dreamed that I would be such an integral part of season 3. And I want to keep playing her until there's no storylines left to tell.
In the Clone Wars, she doesn't die, right?
No.
Mm-mm. Does she die ever?
No.
Anywhere in any universe?
No, she hasn't. She hasn't as of that I know of.
She's not dead. There's no speculation or
No, she's still alive and kicking.
Would that just be nightmarish if somebody goes, it's the end of the road? When that time comes, will you be really emotional when they're like, hey, you know, this is all we can do with the character for right now?
I think so. But at the same time, I 100% thoroughly respect what Dave and Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau have created and what they know of this character. That if they said that, I would be like, okay, cool. Like, that was really awesome.
Yeah.
It was really awesome.
Do you have any conversations with them as friends, like during the year? Or is it not really like, you're like, they're great, but you could text them and just say, hey, I'm thinking of you, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. You know, the older I've gotten, the more I do that, where if I'm thinking of someone or if I have a fond conversation with someone about someone else, I usually will let that person know that they were on my mind and in my thoughts that day, because I, you know, we talked about this a little bit before, there, nothing's guaranteed, you know, I just want to tell people that they matter and that, you know, I enjoy them and I think of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I do text them.
That's important.
I do text them every once in a while just to say
hi. Who's nerdier, Favreau or Filoni?
Oh my God, Filoni. Well, I don't know. I would say.
Who tries to be cooler but isn't?
Me.
You?
No, they're both pretty cool. They're both pretty cool. John's pretty cool. Dave is quite wonderful. Mm. They're both just awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I met John before. He was really sweet.
Yeah, he's super wonderful. He's a great boss.
This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I mean, you know, I know that you were once a swimmer and you got an injury and that kind of took you out, but you really wanted to swim. You had aspirations of sort of like Olympic sort of shit.
I mean, in my wildest dreams, yes, for sure. I absolutely could have swum in college I believe that, and had like a really great run in school.
Are you still good when you go swimming? You can tell like, wow, this girl's a swimmer.
Yes and no. Yes and no. I don't really swim for fun anymore. I think that like, you know, all those daily doubles and dry land training took it out of me. And now yeah. I'm like, I just sort of like, when I get in a pool now, I sort of like abandon, like wild abandon play like a child. Like I do handstands and I do like circles
Dude,
under the water. And like,
what,
I just
that's
play.
What I do. They all make fun of me. When I go into a pool, I always tell whatever friends with me, let's see who could do the most somersaults underwater.
Yeah.
And they're like, why do you want to do this? I'm like, I don't know. It feels good. It makes me tickle.
It's
it
fun.
It tickles me.
Yeah.
Tickles my stomach.
I love to drop my daughters too. And like I love to drop all those stuff in the bottom of the pool and like swim down with her and get them. And
does she have her eyes wide open?
Mm-hmm. And we look at each
so
other
cute.
And we go.
I always love those videos of babies underwater going.
It's so
their
cute.
Eyes just.
Like Nirvana-esque. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
If you weren't going to become an actress, you know, like honestly, what would you like to do? Like what? Because you love it so much. I mean, you're doing a podcast, but like if you weren't in the entertainment industry, what would you be doing right now?
Like right now?
I mean, right now at 2:30 PST.
So I think if you asked me when I was, you know, 16, I would have said that I would have gone into journalism or I would have done something on camera or something like that. Now, God, life is just about leisure. I want, you know, I want to, and not that I can afford to have a life of leisure, but like I want to spend time with my family in relaxing settings, doing joyful things, as much as possible.
Sure.
I would love to make wine. I would love to have my own winery, but I need to be in a place financially where making money is not not important.
Are you saying that Disney doesn't pay a lot? They're notorious for not really paying a lot.
Are they?
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that happened in our industry with streaming is that the consistency of work went down because the holds remain the same. And what that means for your audience, that means that the length of your contract, you basically are under contract from a certain date to a certain date. And they have any time within that date to pick you up for the next season. They usually wait to the last minute. They prevent you from doing other stuff. And the problem is those holds are insanely long. They're like 12, 13, 16 months from your last day on set, not from the beginning, from your last day on set. And the problem is you're doing 8 episodes now. You're not doing 22 anymore.
Right. So you can't rely on a big paycheck, really.
No. And it's your time on hold is so much longer now And, you know, they can say we're not preventing you from getting work, but other companies won't touch you with a 10-foot pole if they know you're under contract with someone else. So there's a lot of downtime. One of the things is the residuals. Actors used to be able to support themselves off residuals during those insane long holds. That doesn't exist anymore. So you know, they pay me very well and well enough for sure.
But
I would love to have more episodes or shorter hold times for sure. And not just with that company, with any company.
Yeah. I mean, look, the roles that we get, you know, in this industry, we don't know how long they're going to last. We don't know if they're going to last a season or get cut short, yeah, and not do a whole season or two seasons or whatever it is. So all this time that you work on, you make what seems like a significant amount of money.
Yeah.
Some more significant than others. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't know what's next though. And most of the time people have jobs, they work 9-to-5 jobs or whatever they're doing. They know they have work tomorrow, next week, as far as they have their job for the most part.
Right.
But with actors, it's ephemeral.
Feast or famine.
Yeah. You're just, okay, well, this project's over, I got to go get another job. So you're always looking for another job.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know.
Yeah, it is like that. And it's a little terrifying when you have a family as well, because our insurance is completely tied. Our health insurance is completely tied to the amount of money we make. Yeah. And if you're on hold and you start to go, well, crap, you know, yeah, everyone's like, you know, and it's not them being rude. It's not anything, but people just don't understand the industry. They're like, why don't you work for Marvel? Why don't you go work for blah, blah, blah? And I'm like,
same thing.
I'm like, guys, they haven't called me. Don't you think I would love to have a job right now? No one's called.
My friends do the same thing, but it's usually about women. Why don't you date Nicole Kidman, man? I'm like, she's dating a rock star and I don't know her. Well, can't you meet her? Just shut up. That's what I want to say. That's what I say to my friends. They think, you know, hey man, I want to know what you're, because they don't get it. Yeah. They don't know the world that we live in. Kind of like, it's not all that glamorous a lot of times. Mm. Most times it's not. It can be great, but it's a small world too, isn't it? It feels very small.
It's very small. It is very small, and it's very like, you know, this is just really, it's a really tiny business. Everybody knows everybody to a certain extent. Everybody is, you know, known someone who's worked with someone that's worked with someone. And you get to a certain point and you're like, well, if the phone's not ringing, it's just because there's nothing right for me right now.
You know, I know we didn't talk about this last time. I don't know if you even talk about it since, but you're doing a podcast already. You're getting personal. You're getting vulnerable. You're getting open. When did you have thyroid cancer?
Oh, God. 2008.
2008, so roughly 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And when you first got thyroid cancer, I'm guessing you didn't really know a lot about thyroid cancer or your thyroid.
I didn't know where it was on my body, to be honest. I mean, I did, obviously, because I had a lump on it.
Where is it?
It's right in your neck. Oh, so I have a scar there.
Right. I didn't even know the scar.
Yeah. The surgeon did a great job. But like, you know, no, I didn't think that I would soon be an expert on thyroids.
And now you are?
I mean, within reason. Yeah.
So what was it that you went into? Was it a random checkup? Were you fatigued? What was the symptom that you kind of thought, this is not right?
You know, my gynecologist actually felt the nodule during my exam. Can you imagine?
She's on your
really
neck.
Really long arms. No, she was feeling my neck as they do.
Right.
And she felt it and was like, huh, we should go get that checked out. And it sort of coincided with me being really exhausted at the end of Battlestar. And
like it was sort really of like too much exhaustion.
Yeah, I think so. But I also think that one of the things I've learned about thyroid disorder is that it's very easy to blame a lot of our discontent with things in our life, whether they be physical, emotional, or otherwise, on your thyroid, because it has so much control over so much of your body. It is involved in so many different things that it is possible that it's affecting all of these things in your life. Or it's also possible that you're slightly depressed, you're overworked, you don't sleep, you eat like crap, you're drinking
too
much.
That's most of the time what it is.
You know what I mean?
90% of the time it's that.
Yeah.
And then every once in a while it's a real reason.
Yeah.
Can you feel my thyroid real quick?
I can. Okay. I can. Why, do you have a thing?
No, I just want to know.
Yeah, but does it feel normal?
Yeah. There's okay. No.
You're going a little too long, and I felt like something's wrong.
No, I've never felt someone else's thyroid before.
That was kind of weird.
I've never felt somebody else's thyroid before. It might actually be a little higher than that, Michael.
Oh, so you didn't know if you felt it?
Yeah, it's like right here. But you can't really feel the thyroid. You could feel a nodule on mine.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If I had a nodule or something, but I don't think so.
They'd know.
Were you scared instantly?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, anytime somebody tells you that you have cancer, no matter, you know, how old you are or what the cancer is or you know, the survival rate or any of those things, I think that the C word is such a terrifying thing. And for me, it was like really, really scary. But afterwards, I actually had a lot of survivor's guilt afterwards because my cancer felt so treatable. They removed my thyroid. They removed some lymph nodes surrounding my thyroid. And, you know, I have to take a pill for the rest of my life and work on my levels and things like that. Yeah. But other than that, I was okay. I saw a lot of people at the hospital that weren't. And there is a lot of guilt over that. And I was always sort of like ready for the other shoe to drop. So I've always been a little terrified of doctors. I go all the time. But I, you know, I just had that Prenuva scan. Like I did that too. I just want to, like, knowledge is power. And so I'm like a little bit of a hypochondriac when it comes to medicine now, because I'm a little scared that the other shoe was going to drop.
It's interesting. When a doctor, albeit gynecologist, whatever, says, I think you should get that checked out.
I thought you said, I'll be a gynecologist. Oh, like, no. I thought you I'll were going it, right? to, like,
I'll be it.
I'll be it. Yes, I I'll heard. Be it.
I'll be a gynecologist.
I'll be a gynecologist.
I'll be a gynecologist.
All right, so I'll be it, a gynecologist.
Yeah, yes. When she says that, you know, I think you should get this looked at. Mm. Or you mean like, well, does it feel bad? Were you constantly asking questions? And she's like, I don't know. It doesn't look good. Or
just go get it checked out, you know, and go to a thyroid doctor and get it checked out. I think that when you are young, we are blissfully like ignorant to consequence and death, you know? And I think that any time that you encounter something in your life that stops you and opens your eyes to the fragility of it all, you become hyper aware of it at a very young age. And that's what happened to me.
Do you remember when the doctor actually, did you go in the office when he said you have thyroid, we found cancer?
Yeah.
Do you remember how you felt? Was it, because I imagine it's sort of numbing.
It is numbing. And then I felt really sorry for myself. And then, you know, I used it to feel sorry for myself for a long time. Mm. And about 2 years after they removed my thyroid, I had a doctor literally say to me, you need to stop blaming the fact that you don't have a thyroid on everything in your life that's going wrong and take some responsibility for the things that are going wrong.
Wow.
And I was like, wow. Okay. Yeah. So I did. I started eating healthier. I started working out. I got out of the relationship that I was in. I made changes in my life. And I took responsibility for that.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's so cool. What is it like without a thyroid? Would anyone even notice it?
No, I don't think so. I don't think that anyone would notice with me. You know, my levels have always been really great. I'm on top of it. I'm constantly getting my blood work done, making sure that my levels are okay.
What levels? Because you have no thyroid. But thyroid makes...
So THC... THC.
THC. If my thyroid makes THC, I am one lucky son of a bitch.
Your TSH. So it's your T3 and your T4. But basically, it can... there's no shortage of things that your thyroid controls. Your metabolism, your energy, your... you know, your hormones, your
and so without everything.
One, I take a pill every day.
And what does that pill do?
It is false. It's fake T3 and T4.
Really?
Every day. Yeah. So if the world ended. So during COVID, everyone was really scared about not being able to get pills and shortages of things and stuff like that. If I didn't take my thyroid meds for 2 weeks, it would be really, really, really bad for my entire body. It would shut down.
You notice probably if you don't take it for a day or two.
So Synthroid has a shelf life of 14 days. Mm. If you miss a day, it actually just lowers your overall number of your microcardiograms that you're taking. So if you're, say you're on 150 and your doctor's like, we really want you to be on 145. Well, they don't make a 145. So what they'll do is they'll say, one day a week, take half a pill. And it lowers your whole level down. Things like that. So
kind of like me with Xanax or something.
Yeah.
Although, just take a half if you're going on a plane.
Well, but like the shelf life of Xanax is really short.
I don't take Xanax anymore. Yeah. I haven't taken one in years.
It's good. It's bad for you. I mean, just in the sense that it's very addictive.
But I'm on, an antidepressant, which helps with my anxiety.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing. I went through just everything and I thought nothing's helping me.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. Each body is different. Each brain chemistry is different. So Lexapro works for me, but it may, I've heard it doesn't work for other people, but it works for a lot of people. So you just have to do it. And it is work. It took me a fucking year or more to go through hell of all the different drugs, Zoloft. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm having more anxiety. And then this other, I forgot the name of them all.
Yeah.
But they would just, and I'm not saying they didn't work. They didn't work for me.
Yeah.
And then I was about to give up. I go, I don't know what to do. My psychiatrist is like, there's still some, just hang on.
Yeah.
And I remember taking it and I just waited. And finally, after a couple months, I go, I'm definitely better. Do you do any kind of antidepressants or anything?
So no, not on any antidepressants. But I do, like we talked about, I was diagnosed with ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
And so I situationally will take half of a pill to focus my mind.
Situationally.
This episode is brought to you by Smart Food Popcorn. Some decisions aren't the best, like skipping ahead in your favorite podcast. Think of all the banter you'll miss, the lore in the making. Luckily, Smart Food Popcorn is a no-brainer. Deliciously tasty and available in a variety of fun flavors. It's a smart decision every time. Smart Food. Add smart. To learn more, visit smartfood.com.
The most exciting part of a vacation stay at a home rental? Easy. It's being greeted upon arrival with a rusted lockbox affixed to the underside of a stranger's condo. Yeah, you simply twist knobs, click gears, jiggle it, and then rip it off its moorings, and voila! Your prize is a key to a questionable home rental and maybe tetanus. When you just want to get your vacation started by actually getting into your room, it matters where you stay. At Hilton, we deliver your key right to your phone on the Hilton Honors app. Hilton, for the stay.
Sergeant and Mr. Smith, you're gonna love this house.
Bunk beds in a closet?
There's no field manual for finding the right home. But when you do, USAA Homeowners Insurance can help protect it the right way. Restrictions apply.
Situationally is a tough thing.
Yeah.
Because it's all the time. So yeah. I feel like if I just say I want to focus today, then I'm not focusing the next day. And it also, it's weirdly gives me an energy.
Yeah.
A little bit of a, like I'm focused. I'm a little more hyper-focused, at least for the first 5 hours of the day. And then I kind of crash.
Yeah, yeah.
But for me, I take it every day. I don't take what you take.
Yeah.
And I don't take Adderall.
Yeah.
But I take something that works for me, again, called Vyvanse. And yeah. The Vyvanse is, you can do that. You can take it when needed. But, these things give me normalcy, something that I don't really, I haven't associated with my whole life. It was always like, I didn't realize I had this anxiety my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
Have you dealt with a lot of anxiety or is it something that you haven't really had to?
No, I did. I mean, yes. And situational anxiety, I think. I say that a lot because I don't, for me personally, I don't like to label myself overall as something because I feel like for me, it would make me lean into that a little bit more. Mm. For me personally. So there are things that give me tremendous anxiety in life. I am not an anxious person, though, in general. Just there are things. Like, I am an horrific flyer. I do not like flying.
I don't like flying.
Not a fan of it.
Not a fan.
Before I go on stage, terrifying. Terrifying to me. My stomach goes in knots. I get really bad.
Seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're really... You got to feel like you go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
All that stuff happens to you.
All of that stuff happens
to me, except now that I'm on something that levels me and takes away that intense anxiety.
Yeah.
It is bearable.
Interesting.
For the first time in my life.
I get that.
And that's only been a year, probably, of feeling like that.
Well, that's so wonderful
my
that you found something, though.
My whole fucking life, anxious about everything. And I'm still anxious about things. Don't get me wrong. It doesn't fix the problem. You got to work on those things. But you're not a genuinely an anxious person, situational, like you said.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. You know, I found that a lot of my anxiety stemmed from my insecurities about things. And I found that if I allowed people into my life that validated my insecurities, my anxiety got worse. So as soon as I started removing people in my life that validated my insecurities, my anxiety got lesser.
Validated your insecurities.
Yeah.
Made you think you were something you really weren't, but almost like.
Yeah. Could have been
accentuating
a bit of that.
Those adverse things.
Yeah.
That these, what do they call them? Your traits.
Your traits.
Traits. Yeah. Yes. And that is similarly. Can you say similarly? Say it.
Similarly.
Good. Similarly.
Similarly.
Now it gets harder the more you do it. Say toy boat five times fast.
Toy boat, toy boat, toy boat, toy boat, toy boat.
Pretty good. Toy boat, toy boat, toy boat, toy boat, toy boat, toy boat, toy
boat. Oh my gosh. So do you like Fantastic Mr. Fox?
Have you read this for a long time? I haven't. I don't know.
So my daughter likes Dr. Seuss, and we have Fantastic Mr. Fox, which I wish that I had this book like when I first started acting back in the day, because the tongue twisters in this book are just insane.
Give me one.
Mr. Fox and the Knox on the socks has a box with the thing, and they're crazy. Absolutely.
Do you
crazy.
Know this one? The big black bug bit the big black bear, and the big black bear bled blue black blood.
No, because I didn't study. So I don't know all these things that people would do. They would all have these these tongue twisters that they would do. And I would just walk on set and be like, I guess I'll try today.
You know, my father is a fig plucker. He plucks figs. He's the fastest fig plucker that ever plucked a fig. My sister is a sheet slitter. She's the fastest sleet shitter that ever slit a sheet.
Wait, that's the one where you can say
shit sheets. Shit sleets. there's all sorts of ones like that.
Yeah.
Talking about your traits, though, and people it's the same thing as having a friend that just, I don't want to say isn't grateful, but doesn't appreciate things. Not just things that you might do for them or things that you might experience together, but just sort of has this attitude like, and maybe look, it's depression, it's whatever, it's self-loathing. I've dealt with this. But the sooner you weed out people that bring you down, that are not influencing a positive aspect in your life, the faster your life will improve. It's very easy.
Yeah.
If you're around someone and they're just always, they have issues and it's always about them and there's problems and it's just like me. Oh, I have a friend who's always like, oh, of course that happens to me. Of course. Happens to me.
Yeah.
Bad news. So there's one thing but if you feel like you're always helping them, you're always trying to get them up, you're trying to lift their spirit, you can't be everyone's cheerleader.
No.
That is going to drain you for everything. And it's taken me so many years. I would try to I got to help my unhappy self before I help someone else that's unhappy.
Yeah, you got to put on your mask before you can put on someone else's.
There you go. That's what you do. Yeah. So it's difficult, but it's funny when you do cut someone off, and it hasn't happened many times in my life improves exponentially.
Yeah.
Exponentially.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I mean this when I say this, that I didn't truly start living until my husband loved me.
Wow.
And he was the first person I ever dated I've dated some wonderful men and some assholes.
Mm-hmm.
But he was the first person who didn't try to change anything about me and just loved me.
Wow.
And there was such a freedom and confidence that came out of that because he loved me and really, really, really well. And allowed me to just be myself. And I finally, for the first time at 38 when I met him, started having fun again because I wasn't embarrassed to be anything. I was just myself and started having fun and didn't care what people thought of me because this man loves me.
Wow.
And it was really beautiful. And there was a lot of strength in that that I got from him just by loving me.
Do you think you learned to love yourself when he started loving you because you thought you were?
Yeah.
I wow. did.
Yeah. Because my husband is probably the best man I've ever met. My dad's phenomenal. I'm not talking about my family. My husband is such a good, kind man. And I recognized from the moment I met him that he was going to make some woman very happy one day. And so the moment that he chose me, I literally in my mind went, oh my God, I must not be that bad. Like I must actually be a really good sad. Person.
That's beautiful yeah. and sad at the same time.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Yeah.
You felt worthy.
I did.
He made you feel like he made you feel not that worthy, like it just made you feel good enough.
And for you. And stop.
Just good enough.
Good enough.
Good enough.
Yeah. Good enough.
More than.
I had never felt good enough. And because I'd never felt good enough for other people, I didn't feel good enough for myself. I felt my entire life like I needed to be better. I needed to be somebody else. I needed to be anything but me because me wasn't enough. And when I found someone who I loved and who I saw them as this amazing person, and that person loved me, it immediately made me realize I didn't have to be anything other than myself. And it was the most freeing thing that's ever happened to me. And I truly started to like become myself.
That is the key to meet someone whose agenda is not to change you.
Mm. Yeah.
You know?
But it could be anyone, right? It doesn't necessarily have to be a romantic partner. I think that it could be anyone that you encounter in your life that you respect as a human being. If that person says you're enough, just believe them. You know?
Yeah. It's hard when your whole life you don't believe that you're enough. Because history has shown that you weren't, because you didn't feel it, because you didn't get it from the people who were supposed to give it to you.
Yeah.
And then you get to a certain point in life where you say, okay, I've got to work this out because this can't be true. This can't be true that I'm not worthy. That I'm not worth it, that I'm not all these things, lovable, or that I'm smart. I'm not smart. And sometimes you have to put logic. You have to say, are you successful? Yes. Do people appreciate your work? Yes. Do you, you ask all these questions that are presented that are pretty much easy. Like, do you love yourself? And that's always been a tough one for me. That's always been the big kick in the ass. That's like, I don't really love myself, but I like moments of it. Like sometimes I go, that was cool, dude. And you did that altruistically. You didn't do that because the camera was rolling. You didn't do that because you did it because you genuinely have a good heart.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the moments when I say, I like you. I like that person. I like that element of you. I like that moment of you.
Yeah.
So I haven't gotten to that point where I'm like, fuck yeah, man, I love myself. I don't look at it that way.
Yeah.
I look at it as like, hey, keep going after those moments. Keep showing yourself that you are a good person, that you know, and you are, but like, just keep doing good things.
Keep collecting moments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you find yourself doing that?
Yeah. Yeah. I find myself, especially the older I get, collecting moments and collecting memories and holding on to little things. Cause I am very aware that statistically I'm halfway through.
Jesus, why'd you bring that up?
I feel like there's strength in that, though.
You're how old are you?
43.
Somebody said, like, they were 51, which got my attention. It was on Instagram. Mm. Everybody's a fucking spokesman now. Yeah. Everybody's got the fucking all. Everything's worked out. Here's what you need to do. Three things in life that if you're doing, you'll, and it's all, one, do this every morning. Breathe in five breaths. And then number two, look in the mirror and brush your teeth with your left hand instead of your right. I'm like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
You know, everybody has these ideas about what we should be doing, which is overwhelming.
Yeah.
And it should be like, hey, forget everything. Put in your body healthy things.
Yep.
That are going to give you natural energy and don't eat as much junk food.
Yeah.
Everything in moderation doesn't mean you can't do that. You could get hit by a truck tomorrow.
Of course.
So I don't want to get hit by a truck knowing, oh, God, I wasn't eating that ice cream sandwich. It's just everything in modern moderation.
Yeah.
And, you know, being a good person, eating right, a little exercise, a little, you know, being with your friends, letting go. That's better advice than a lot of this shit. It just overwhelms me.
It is overwhelming. And I think what it
get
is
an ice bath.
Get an ice bath. I have an ice
bath. I'm going to get one. Is it magic?
It is magic. We have a Renew ice bath, which I absolutely love.
They must have given you that free since you said it.
No, I have my Renew. We sold one with our house when we moved from Los Angeles. We sold it with our house and just bought another one. And I say this because I absolutely love it. There are other cold plungers out there, like not sponsored, that I feel like they're less expensive.
Do they have the little thing that cools it?
They have a lot of like influencers that use them. And
do they have a cooler that makes it water cold?
Uh-huh. But then you have something like Renew that's like more expensive, but like it just works. It's an investment. And that's the way that I looked at it, as an investment in my health. And because it makes my hips feel better because I have bad hips.
Really?
So I get in the cold plunge.
So it really reduces inflammation.
I believe that it does, absolutely. I also believe that you should probably talk to your doctor first and make sure that your heart is healthy. I know that a lot of people are like, you know, you take your cold plunge and people are like, oh my God, you could have a heart attack. Yeah, well, I also know that I don't have a heart problem.
Yeah.
And I'm really healthy.
Ozempic, you know. If you have heart problems or you have diarrhea, this will cause explosive diarrhea in most people.
I have no idea
what it does. I don't know.
I think that everyone is an expert, and you learn this when you are a parent. People are dying to tell you how to raise your kid, dying to, because if it works for them, it's not enough. They need it to work for you as well, because then it validates what they did to their kid. And so like everyone wants to tell you, do this, do that, do this. I do it too. I'm like, have you heard of taking care of babies? Go sleep train your kid. And everyone's like, I couldn't sleep train my kid. That's so bad. Like, so everyone has their shit and everyone tells you what they did is works and whatever, because what works for everyone is different.
That's exactly
everyone
right.
Has their own shit, but everyone wants to tell you what worked for them because they're so proud of it and it validates
but you
the
know
fact
what?
That it worked for them.
I will say that like this podcast with each guest, that's sort of like what works for you. And when the audience is listening, like, hey, Katie's advice might just work for you.
Mm.
My advice might work for you.
Yeah.
Every guest, you might get a little something, a little nugget that you go, you know what? That actually worked for me.
Yeah.
You know, somebody came up, he's a patron and they support the podcast and they're amazing. Patreon.com/InsideOf You. And he came up to me, goes, you know, that Athletic Greens really works. And I go,
well, awesome.
Great. And he goes, yeah. And I go, well, how do you feel? He goes, I'll tell you what, when I don't take it, I could feel it. I was like, all right, bud, I'm glad it works for you.
Because
it really, I really like it and Tom really likes it and we talk about it. But again, you know, you got to try things and see what works for you.
I like Athletic Greens too. They don't sponsor my podcast.
Maybe they will after this.
Maybe they will.
Maybe I'll send them this clip.
Because I actually take Athletic Greens daily.
We're going to send this clip to Athletic Greens.
Guys.
See what they say. Athletic Greens. And you go on my link tree for all that stuff. Would you do Battlestar Galactica again?
It depends on the script.
They came at you and go, we're doing another 8-episode special event.
Yeah, it would depend on who was involved in the script for sure and who was in charge.
But you wouldn't say yes without seeing.
No.
All right. Did you have fun doing the last one?
I did. I love that cast. We are family. We are family for sure.
Edward James Olmos.
Everyone involved.
Everyone.
Yeah, everyone. There's not one person that was on that show. And look, we're like family. We've had some shit. We've had some moments.
Really?
Like we've had some.
On set?
No. But like out of work. It's been 20 years. You know what I mean? Or 25 years since we started, whatever it was. It's been a long time. There's a lot of different personalities. Like you can rub people the wrong way. Trisha Helfer and I got in a fight. It's one of my best friends got in a fight. Knocked down, drag out. We weren't hitting each other, but we had it. We went at each other.
Screaming at each other?
Yeah.
In person?
Yeah. Yeah.
Not FaceTime.
Not screaming, but like, yeah. Really
like,
heated.
Why are you acting like a bitch?
Really heated. Really, really heated.
Wow.
And we, you know, made it through it.
Was it about anything really that important if you look back at it?
Nothing's important. No. No, of course not.
It's important you figured it out. That's what's important.
Of course not. It was obviously not important and our friendship meant more. But you know what I mean? Like, so we're like family. If we have some shit, but you know, you give them a kidney.
I like that. That's honesty.
Yeah.
You know, you have moments with people and they become family. Like even with me and Welling, like I feel like, you know, Tom, I can say anything to now.
Mm-hmm.
We're close enough where I could say, hey, dude, don't do that. Like, goes, what are you fucking talking about? I'm like, I'm just telling you, don't do that or whatever. And he'll say something to me like, hey, when you talk about that, it comes off as this. I'm like, oh, really? So we listen to each other.
Yeah.
And someone's like, dude, shut the fuck up.
Well, I think when you know that someone loves you and wants what's best for you and you in turn love them, I believe that you can say most anything to them because it's coming from a place of authenticity and just, you know, I would never intentionally hurt somebody's feelings by saying anything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep. I know you don't watch a lot of movies.
I don't.
You're busy.
Being a parent is exhausting.
Oh yeah.
It's exhausting.
No.
I do not know how people do it without help. I don't know.
I don't know either, especially single moms. Here's to all the single moms.
Oh my God. All
the single moms.
And all the single dads as well.
And single dads.
But like, here's to all like the single parents who are making it work and working their butts off and all they wish is they had more time with their kids.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Amen.
Yeah.
You're a good mom. I could tell. You really care. You're family first. You found the love of your life and you have a kid together. It's.
Yeah,
you know?
For sure. I do feel that. But I also waited a really long time. I waited to really meet the right person.
So you're saying there's hope for me. I'm waiting a really long time.
There's hope for everyone, I think, you know, but everyone has a different journey, right? Mine is very different. And that doesn't mean that it's easy. You know, it doesn't mean that my life doesn't have tragedy in it.
Yes.
I just choose not to focus on it.
Are your parents with you? No.
They are.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. Both my parents are doing really well. My mom had a fall like 4 years ago. Stupid bitch. She was like.
Did you say stupid bitch? Yeah,
of course I did. And she would admit it. My mom had like live plants on the top of her like cupboards. Ladies, men, if you're of a certain age, take the fucking plants off the shelf and put fake ones up there for God's sakes.
Yeah.
My mom fell off the counter by herself at home because she was using the stool, the bar stool as a ladder to water the plants. She fell. She missed the counter by like, she could have died. She landed on her elbow, shattered her elbow.
Oh my God.
Broke a rib.
Stupid
I mean like
bitch.
Awful. Stupid bitch.
Jesus.
Don't. Just don't. That was a really
my
hard.
Mom
that was
falls
hard.
A lot. She falls.
Well, it's like the number one. It's like
I fall
one
and
of the,
I can't get up.
Well, yeah. But it is. It is.
No, I know.
It is the thing that.
I know. That's what scares me. My grandma's 95. And the only thing I'm scared about.
Falling.
Falling. One fall. See ya.
Yeah. Yeah. I watch. I mean, I'm 43 years old and in very good shape. And I watch my footing. Because like a fall could change my life. You know, like I could, I fall down the stairs. I ain't going to bounce back that easily.
Did I do that on this podcast where I talk about the comedian that I thought was so funny, the black comedian? He goes, they say 30, the new 30, new 20. They say 40, the new 30. But when you 50, you just damn 50. Ain't nothing new about that shit. Only difference is you got to grab that handle when you go up the stairs. You got to watch one foot in front of the other. So, yes.
It's true.
This has been a real treat. Thank you for taking this journey with me again.
Absolutely.
And look forward
to for letting me invite myself on.
Yes. Oh, not really. That's a little inside story. I thought she goes, I want to be on your podcast, but she was asking me to be on hers. And then we worked it out to be on both. But yes.
We worked it out.
Yeah.
We I'm did glad. A twofer.
Blah, blah, blah with Katie Sackhoff.
Check it out. Spotify, Apple, YouTube.
We go into stuff with guests and real life stuff. It's not like gossip actory stuff. It's the same sort of idea, but a female perspective. And I think you're really going to enjoy it. It's like, she's so open and cool. If you've ever met her at a con or whatever. So you're enormously talented. I love you being here. Oh, we got to get you to the airport right now.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
I don't know what else to say other than I love this woman.
I wish I was there for this one.
Yeah, you were, I think you were sick or traveling.
I think it was just traveling.
Traveling, yeah. She's fantastic. So listen to her podcast.
Yeah.
I'm a guest on one of her podcasts. Check that out. Yeah. That's about it, really, for this episode. If you like the show, review it. Send a review. Join Patreon, patreon.com/insideofyou. Help the show out. It's all the people that are part of Patreon that really make this show work. Without you guys, could afford to pay good people like Ryan and Bryce and Jason, and who's an amazing team. I wish that this podcast made so much money that you just felt like you wanted to always be at my house, just hang out.
I mean, I could live here and you wouldn't even know it. Sounds like a challenge.
Why? Why would I notice?
I don't know. I sneak around the shadows. There's plenty of guest rooms.
You have your own wing, yeah.
Plenty of guest rooms. There's one, but you know.
Well,
I mean?
No, there's really the office has a pull-out bed.
There you go.
The basement.
Yeah.
You can sleep in. You could sleep in here on this couch. Would this couch be comfortable?
This one.
It's firm.
It's fine.
Thanks for indulging, folks. It's quite boring what we're getting into now. I'm going to go right now and talk about the top tier patrons and give a shout out to all of them who make this show possible. And a big shout out to Westwood One, who produces the podcast. I mean, Bryce really produces the podcast, but Westwood One gets our advertisers, which are, you know, which we'll mention, and hopefully you don't fast forward them. And I really believe in a lot of these guys, so we don't pick sponsors that we don't like, that's for sure. You know, BetterHelp's one of my favorites of all time. All right, here we go. Top tier patrons. Do you have the script here?
Oh,
right here.
Do you have it right there?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, I have this for you, so you could help me read. I think people like hearing you. I think
it's very nice of them.
Yeah, I think people really like you, Ryan. You want to take my job over? Could you do it?
No, maybe I'll work on a spinoff series if this gets popular.
Well, enough. You're kind of like my Ed McMahon. Yes, sir. Yeah, you'll be my Ed McMahon. Nancy D, Leah and Kristen, Little Lisa, Yukiko, Jill E, Brian H, Nico P, Robert B, Jason W, Sophie M, Raj C, Jennifer N,
Stacy L, Jamal F, Janelle B, Mike E, Eldon Supremo 99 more, Santiago M, Leanne P, Maddie S, Belinda N.
Let's see. Dave. Dave Hall. Dave H. Hello, Dave. I miss you. I haven't talked to you in a while. I hope to see you soon. We're going to do a Zoom with the top tier patrons, Dave. Sheila G, Brad D, Ray H, Tabitha T. Let's do one like maybe New York. Or Tom N, Talia M, Betsy D, Rhiannon C, Corey K, Dev Nexon, Michelle A, Jeremy C, Brandy D, Eugene and Leah, Corey, Mel S, Christine S.
Eric H, Shane R, Andrew M, Oracle, Amanda R, Kevin E.
You don't want to do the New York?
I'm going to trip and fall. Hey, what's a good phrase to get into it?
Like you say, New York.
New York.
Yeah, New York.
New York.
Jor-El.
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 Jammin' J, Leanne J. Hey,
Luna R.
Luna R. Mike F. Stone H. Brian L. Jules M. Kendall L. Jessica B, Kyle F, Kaylee J, Brian A, Marion Louise L, Romeo the band.
You're getting a little Chicago.
That Brent one's easier T, for me.
Gente, Nicky.
Gente, Nicholas.
Nicky L, and the best, Packy Cat and Habit, yeah.
Randy S.
Nicky L, April RM, Randy S, JDW, Oral P, Rachel D, Laurel IL, Melissa H, Nick W, Stephanie and Evan, Charlene A, Don G, Jenny B, John, Jennifer R, Tina E, NG, Tracy, Junie, and Tasha S. Those are the wonderful top tier patrons, but all my patrons are wonderful, every one of you. And this has been a treat. I hope you enjoyed the episode and you continue to watch. And we're working hard to get you great guests. And there's a lot of great guests coming up. You know who we got coming up? Who? One of my heroes. Mm-hmm. Billy D. Williams.
I can't
Lando Calrissian.
I can't Region. Believe it.
Calrissian. Calrissian. Lando Calrissian.
Lando.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Ha! You old! I love it. I'm excited. My friend Chris McDonald said, you want Billy D? I think I can get Billy D for you. I'm like, yeah, can you come to the house? Sure. I love when they come to the house.
That's always nice.
It's like a personal thing. It's like, you know, when Keanu came here, we're like mm-hmm. talking to Keanu. It's mm-hmm. like, it's, you know, it's real. Thank you for listening to the podcast from the Hollywood Hills in Hollywood, California. I am Michael Rosenbaum.
I'm Ryan Tayes. I'm here too.
Yeah, a little wave to the camera. We love you guys. And please, always be good to yourself. All right? Most things are nothings. I'll leave it at that. Okay.
Damn.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone's senior writer, Brian Hyatt.
Now, here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just been handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.